John chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. And he, that is Jesus, must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, that's 12 noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. You've heard of the Good Samaritan. Today I want to bring a message entitled, The Bad Samaritan. John, the writer of the Gospel, is fulfilling his purpose in writing this eyewitness account. His purpose was to show his readers how various kinds of classes of people came to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. In John 4, we see how the bad Samaritan comes to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And we are given a chance to hear one of the most intriguing conversations ever recorded in the history of the world. So, let's you and I be fly on the wall listening in to this conversation. Immediately we notice Jesus' purpose in verse 4. He must needs go through Samaria. Jesus is a must kind of guy. He's always intentional. In the Gospels, you see him that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Even when he was yet a boy, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Again, in Luke, he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. In his intentional kind of way, however, his purpose was not to condemn the sinner. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:18. Much to the chagrin of many people who have the habit of pointing out the sins of others, oblivious of the fact that when they point a finger at others, three fingers are directed back towards them. Now, the preachers, from time to time, can be accused of condemning when they preach about sin. Sometimes the accusation is valid, sometimes the accusation is not valid. The preacher's responsibility is to follow what Jesus did. He didn't condemn. Notice this. But neither did he condone people in their sin. Well, what did Jesus do? He did a meaningful interaction with the wicked world. You see that throughout the Gospels. So let's hear the conversation he had with the wicked world, and particularly the bad Samaritan. Jesus initiates the conversation. Give me to drink, verse number 7. That's a pretty ordinary start, isn't it? And here we see a trace of sarcasm on the part of the woman. The woman of Samaria answers with a revelation about a cultural problem, about a societal problem. How is it that thou, being a Jew, she's raising, we might say today, a racial card. She raised a factual assessment of the ills of her society. And there were a lot of ills in her society. But notice that Jesus doesn't answer her question directly. It was kind of one of those questions where, do you want the short answer or the long answer? But neither does Jesus avoid the answer, like so many people today would dodge the question. Jesus could have talked about the geographical location and the problems about that. We could make a PhD dissertation about the geographical locations here and what that all entails and how significant that was in this particular conversation, but we don't have time to do that right now. He could have talked about the racial inequality and the reasons why that was so. He could have talked about gender inequality and how it all began. He could have talked about the time of day she was out. And I pointed out that it was 12 noon. Why would a woman come out to the well at 12 noon? Wasn't it a pretty ordinary, normal thing for the women to come together at night, together, one with another? And perhaps some of you can relate to this. When, and I say this respectfully, okay, when women go to the restroom, they kind of go together. Right? But here she is by herself in the middle of the day with a connotation and with the context that she didn't want to go with the other women or the other women didn't want to go with her. And she made sure she went there at a very different time than the other women did. Why? Well, you'll find out why. Jesus could have talked about her immoral lifestyle, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus turns the conversation into spiritual things. Jesus turns the conversation towards ultimate realities of life and the life to come. In the previous chapter, Jesus did the same thing with Nicodemus. And what a contrast between the immoral woman and the religious Nicodemus. He was an upstanding citizen, a high and lofty Jewish, and a leader, and a teacher of the law, who came to Jesus, not by midday, but in the night, and who wanted to join the kingdom of God. And again, Jesus turned the conversation from physical to the spiritual. In essence, he says to him, Nick, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Blew Nick's religious mind away. How can I do that? Do I go into my mother's womb the second time and be born that way? He was thinking physical. Jesus Christ was thinking spiritual. Jesus' answer to the woman here in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This shows us that the problems that you and I raise are but symptoms of a much larger problem. And that is that we don't have living water. The Samaritan woman thinks, and we think in the similar fashion, that the solution to the racial problem is segregation, assimilation, and whatever other smart human ingenuity we can come up with. Jewish man, she says, you've got a problem here, sir. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Let's take care of that first, shall we? There was a trace of sarcasm in the woman's reply, as if she meant, we Samaritans are the dirt under your feet until you want something, then we are good enough. In essence, Jesus says that problem cannot be solved by a physical means. You need living water. It blew the woman's mind away. The woman here replies with another question. What was that? You can almost hear her snicker, her laughter. You don't have nothing to draw with. I don't see any machinery you're bringing up to the well. And oh, by the way, the well is very deep. From where do you have this living water? What does this show us? It shows us the utter helplessness of our view of life. This shows us the utter hopelessness of our view of life. This shows us the utter blindness to the ultimate realities of life. The Apostle Paul said it this way. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The woman of Samaria does not intelligently welcome the things of the Spirit of God, for they are tasteless to her. So she doesn't have the dynamic to discern spiritual realities because she is dead to spiritual things. Just like the bad Samaritan, this is the real condition of those who are blind to spiritual things of God. The woman raises another question. Are you greater than our father, Jacob? Let me rephrase that question, or let me re-say that question with an emphasis. Are you greater than our father, Jacob? Here's the insight of that. Her brain is being stretched at this moment. While she was still hung up on physical realities to include a biological solution, she says. She's hinting to that. Maybe if we can go back to our common ancestor, we might have a solution to our problem. Our father, Jacob. It's the Jews' father. It's the Samaritan's father, Jacob. And then we see Jesus fires back again with a spiritual reality. Whosoever drinks of this physical water shall thirst again. It's only a matter of time that problems spring up again after human means to solve are exhausted. But whosoever drinks of the living water, Jesus says, that I only can give, shall never thirst again. In fact, the living water that I give him or her shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The bad Samaritan, amazingly, catches on. I want you to notice what she says here. Sir, verse 15. How did that come about? Previously, she said, you're a Jew. And now she's saying, with a hint of respect. The woman amazingly catches on. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. From sarcasm, she moves into serious-mindedness. From a seeming blindedness, she moves into the scales of her eyes being opened. How does she catch on? Watch this very carefully. By what Jesus said. What? Let me show you. She catches on what Jesus said. Let me reword it. She catches on with faith on what Jesus said. Let me rephrase that again. She believes the word of Jesus. Let me rephrase that again. She believes the word of God. And let me rephrase that yet one more time. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you didn't see that, let me show you something else. The Samaritans had their own copy of the Old Testament. And what Jesus was telling her, she recognized that it was coming from the sacred scriptures. Psalm 63:1 tells us this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Isaiah 55:1 says this, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Speaking of the salvation that God is offering to anyone and everyone. Isaiah 58:11 says this, And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. She recognized that the words of Jesus Christ were the words of the prophets of God in the Old Testament. What does this show us? This shows us this one facet of this conversation. That there is a thirst in every soul that can never be quenched but by the living water that only can be dispensed by God Himself. That is the grace in salvation. What kind of thirst do you have? What kind of hunger do you have? Do you feel like your life has a vacuum within you? Do you search for a meaning of life? Do you search for satisfaction? Is this a search for contentment? A search for peace of mind and heart? Do you toss back and forth in your bed at night, longing for that peace and contentment? Let me say this. All of that can be satisfied only by the grace of salvation drawn from the well of God's grace. No physical water can satisfy you. The living water of Jesus Christ can satisfy you. Only the living water of Jesus Christ can satisfy your longing. Jesus, in an almost bewildering twist here, answers in a manner that the woman never expected she would hear. What is that? Let's go back there. John 4. The woman was ready. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her. And this is in the present tense. Jesus kept saying unto her, Go, call thy husband, and then come back here. What kind of an answer is that? I wasn't expecting that. Neither were you expecting that. Something coming from Jesus like that. I imagine you and I would say, Jesus, really? The woman is asking you directly about how to get this living water, and you're telling her to go call her husband? What does he have to do with what you have to give her? Let me draw your attention to what Jesus meant and say to the bad Samaritan. I said earlier that he wasn't condemning. That was not his purpose, to condemn the woman's sin. The other rabbis would have delighted to do so. Oh, well, tell me about what you're doing. Let me point out to you your sin. But Jesus, he wasn't crass, he wasn't insensitive, he wasn't thoughtless, he wasn't tactless about it. Remember the purpose of Jesus. John said that he said he needed to go there with the intent to save the woman's soul. Luke said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. His intent was to redeem her soul, not to soothe her guilt. His intent was to rescue her from self-deception, not condone her sinful nature, her sinful lifestyle. He might seem direct, but none can accuse him of being obnoxious. Think about this just for a minute. The Jews were told that the Jews didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. Why? Because they were half-breeds. And to have any dealing with them was to become dirty. Listen to this expository commentary. The shortest route from Jerusalem to Galilee lay on the high road straight through Samaria territory. Many Jews would not travel by that road, for they regarded any contact with Samaritans as defiling. Not only were they half-breeds, because they intermarried when they were taken captive by the Assyrians, they went over to Assyria, present-day Iran. They intermarried with the Assyrians, and they came back in northern Israel along with the gods that they brought with them from Assyria. And that just added to the animosity that the southern kingdom dealt with them. They assimilated the Assyrian gods into their religion, and so the more bad blood between them and the Jews. Now think about this. Jesus broke through that cultural norm. The Jews went around the countryside to bypass any contact with the Samaritans, but Jesus took the high road straight through Samaria to seek and to save that which was lost. The Apostle Paul wrote it in this way, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. If there was any balm that will cure the problem of racism, it is the cross of Jesus Christ. He crossed the line when everybody else in the society didn't want to. He went to see the bad Samaritan. He wasn't crass about it either. Secondly, men in his day treated women as second-class citizens. And Jesus broke through that cultural norm and elevated the dignity of women on par with the men. If there was any accusation that Christianity was oppressive of women, then Jesus Christ shattered that to a million pieces. If there was any cure for the problem of gender inequality, it is the cross of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He wasn't crass about it. But think about this. Jesus points to the nerve of her problem. The nerve of her problem isn't racism. The root of her problem isn't feminism. The nerve of her problem is what? Her sinful nature. All of her being has been entirely affected by sin. The Samaritan woman's answer. And what was it? What was her answer? She said what? I have no husband. Reveals a stunning opening of her eyes to the wonderful spiritual realities. At this point, she could have said, "You're meddling now, Jesus. That's my private affairs. Forget this. Get out of my way. Let me get the water so I can get out of here. You're meddling, Jesus." You can see the inner working of the Holy Spirit in her heart at this time. Thirdly, back to Jesus, how Jesus dealt with the Samaritan woman. He does not condemn the woman of sin, but he sure remains firm in confronting her real issue. He doesn't condemn the woman by pointing out the sins of her life, but he sure did have a way, or does have a way, of making the woman be confronted with the reality and the guilt of her sins. Whereas the audience looking at this narrative, looking at this eyewitness account, are screaming, "No, Jesus, don't go there. That's personal. That's private. That's politically incorrect." Jesus truthfully and lovingly continues to press the nerve of her problem. "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast said..." Jesus, no, don't do that. "For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now..." Oh, Jesus, don't. "The one that you are shacked up with right now is not your husband. In that, saidst thou, truly." I say again, the nerve of her problem was her sinful nature. Shacking up with a man for whatever reason she had, whether it be economic or escaping problems at home, or a rift between her mom or her dad, whatever it was only the symptom of the root of her problem. Going from one husband to a second, to a third, to a fourth, to a fifth, reveals an awful lot of thirsting for that satisfaction in life. But why did Jesus go there? Why didn't he just give her the water and be done with it? Because people need to be confronted of their sin and agree with God's view of sin before they will truly get saved. People who think they're good don't think they need saving. People who think they're not that bad don't think they need redemption. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous," the self-righteous ones, "but sinners," those who are being confronted with their sin, being confronted with their guilt, and agree with God's view of sin. Those are the ones I'm coming for. And those are the ones I'm coming for, and telling them to repent of their sins. Jesus' words. The woman of Samaria, the bad Samaritan, understands that she is a great sinner. And yet, now, repents of all her sins and lays out her empty hands of faith and receives the living water that Jesus gives, and in her shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. How do you know that? I'm glad you asked the question. Verses 19 through 26. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Did you see the humility of the woman? Did you see the reverence of the woman to the things of God? All of a sudden, she's talking about worshiping God. All of a sudden, she's talking about the promised Messiah. Notice the evidence of a converted life at that point. She becomes interested now in the spiritual things of God. And if that's not enough, we're told in verses 28 through 30, this, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Again, also in verses 39 through 42, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's why I said she left all and received the living water with an empty hand of faith. And now she is fully satisfied. And you can be satisfied too. Jesus can be your Savior too. If you believe and receive his offer of living water.